This is the voice of the Vortex. Hello. Today is March 8th, 2011. NakaCon came off brilliantly. We had over 4,400 people in attendance. And I'd guess at least half of them were in costume. Costuming is a huge part of anime fandom. The people who make the shows are aware of it, too. You can go down to the dealer's room and buy a ninja headband and vest from Naruto, or a white Soul Reaper's costume from Bleach. Costuming speaks to a lot of different things in The Soul of the Nerd. The anime convention is a place where you can dress like a ninja and get compliments instead of funny looks. It's a way of marking out our people, of saying, "This space is full of otaku, and you're safe here." It's a way of showing your colors, of saying to the world that you love a particular anime or a particular character enough to drag a 6-foot-long foam sword around all day, or to spend all year sewing. Costumes are wonderful icebreakers for the awkward otaku. I may be shy, but I can talk to the girl dressed as Yomiko Reedman. I already know that we have something in common, and people rarely get mad when you tell them, "By the way, I love your costume." I have been to conventions where there was no costuming beyond a few women in period dress. I think they're missing out. Half the fun of a convention like NakaCon is seeing what people have come up with in the intervening year. The effort and ingenuity that goes into many of these costumes is just extraordinary. On the first day of NakaCon this year, I met a woman who had molded her own custom-fitted Mandalorian armor out of fiberglass. She looked amazing. As one of the people who wasn't dressed up, I spent most of the convention stuck in my staff t-shirt, I began to feel out of place. I wanted to be part of that crowd. They were having so much fun. One of the, out-group, as it were, a normal, mundane, or whatever you'd prefer to call them, leaned over my table while I was eating lunch one day and asked, in bewilderment, "What is this?" I explained about Japanese cartoons, and culture, and costumes, and having fun, and then I realized that right behind her was a boy dressed as America from the anime Hetalia, Axis Powers. He was bouncing around, making trouble, and shouting, "I'm the hero!" Fortunately, she did not ask me to explain any of that. I'm not sure I could have. The Nebula Award nominations are up. These are the awards voted on by the members of the Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers of America. This year's lineup is as strong as I've ever seen. The short stories are powerful and gut-wrenching, from Adam Troy Castro's Arvies, which takes the argument that fetuses are people to its furthest logical conclusion, to Kish Johnson's Ponies, which is a story about little girls and magical talking ponies from The Woman Who Brought You Spar, to A Moment of Perfect Love and Despair from Amal El-Motar's Green Book. Amal El-Motar is an author who has impressed me since I first heard her story, and Their Lips Rang with the Sun, on Podcastle. Her stories have stayed with me, creeping around the edges of my mind long after I read them. She is, I might add, eligible for the Campbell Award this year, in case you happen to have a ballot handy. As hard as the choice between the short stories will be, the novels are worse. Somehow, we are expected to choose between The 100,000 Kingdoms, otherwise known as The Book That Embodies Everything I Love About the Fantasy Genre, or Shades of Milk and Honey, The Magical Book That Got Me Through the Red-Eye Flight Home from Columbus, or Who Fears Death, which was unlike anything I have read before. I'm working my way through Native Star at the moment, and Echo was the next thing on my pile of books to read. I think these two might lose out simply by being less awesome than the other books on the list, but we'll see. The Ray Bradbury Dramatic Presentation Awards are, once again, a list of things I didn't see, and an episode of Doctor Who. My nomination did not make the ballot, for the simple reason that most science fiction authors are deeply serious people, and the Nebula Awards are serious business. As for the Andre Norton Awards, all I can say is Mockingjay. Mockingjay, Mockingjay. Thank God Mockingjay made the ballot. Ventriloquism, the collected short stories of Catherine M. Valenti, finally arrived at my house after a harrowing journey over the Atlantic Ocean. It is a beautiful book. One of those heavy, creamy-leafed hardcovers that makes me glad I didn't wait for a hypothetical paperback. I was pleased to see that most of the stories in this book were new to me. These stories range from Mother is a Machine, which is so surreal as to have little that resembles a plot, to tales of interstellar warfare like Golubash, Wine, Blood, War, Elegy, in the finest traditions of science fiction. Kat Valenti likes playing with fairy tales. She does Hansel and Gretel a few times in this book, from different perspectives. The really creepy one was from the point of view of the witch. How does one build a house out of candy, anyway? And why? She writes about birth, and narwhals, and the creation of the world. Kat Valenti understands how relationships work, whether it's a mother giving her child to a quicksilver demon, or a lover who asks for nothing from you but your ticket home. My favorite story is A Gray and Soundless Tide, a dark and powerful Selkie story that ends the way stories about Selkies always do. It's hard for me to recommend this book. It is not a happy book. However, I think that a reader with the right sort of mental fortitude will be rewarded with some extraordinary writing. These are beautiful stories. They are both an inspiration and a challenge to my own writing. In local news, the next Kansas City Science Fiction and Fantasy Society meeting will be March 19th at 6:30 at the Writer's Place. This month's meeting will feature readings by local authors Robin Wayne Bailey, Susan Satterfield, and me. Bring some Martian food to share, and remember that March is Membership Renewal Month. I hope to see you there. The Voice of the Vortex is produced under a Creative Commons, Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works, Share Alike 3.0 license. To comment on this episode, or to submit flash fiction for future shows, drop an email to voiceofthevortex, all one word, at gmail.com. Show notes are available at voiceofthevortex.podbean.com. This is Sarah Frost, the Voice of the Vortex, signing off.